Jesus in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas says unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus says unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." At various times, we buy things that come with instructions as supposedly given step by step. Just this past week, Dottie got a new machine to track her defibrillator. It had instructions with it, but they was about worthless. I had to call the 800 number on the machine and get them to tell me how to set it up, because the instructions wasn't hardly worth throwing in the garbage. And weren't very plain at all. Now, I'll be the first to admit that I don't like following step-by-step instructions to put things together. I've put several metal buildings together that had step-by-step instructions. When I do, I hand Dottie the instructions and separate the pieces and let her tell me which piece goes where, because I don't do well following those kind of step-by-step instructions. But in many instances, if you want the finished product to be what it's supposed to be, you have to follow the step-by-step instructions. I know the times I used to get ahead of myself. Sometimes I'd have to take a piece apart and then get another piece to put to it and then go on to the next step. Well, there are many times that we as adults can't put these things together. And as I said, I'll be the first to admit that one of the reasons why I'm not able to do that is because I don't like to read and follow the instructions. I'd rather do it by looking at the pieces and putting them together than follow the step-by-step instruction. But when we think about spiritual things, I can't look at the pieces and put them together, because they can't be seen with the naked eye. These spiritual instructions obviously are found in Scripture. I want to talk with you this morning about three basic steps. And I said basic steps because each step has sub-steps that go with that particular part that allows you to see the end result that you desire. Many parts, sub-parts to each step that must be followed to reach the desired goal. And that desired goal we read about in John chapter 14, when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's the way. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He told us he's going to prepare a place for us. He's coming back to receive us unto himself. That where he is, we can be also. This lets us know the vital importance of following the instructions that have been left for us. In the physical realm, sometimes we can get by without following the step-by-step instructions. Sometimes we can see the pieces and we know which piece goes where, because it's obvious. So in some instances, we can get by. But in the spiritual realm, there's no way to get by without following the step-by-step instructions. And so think with me for our time this morning about these three steps that lead to heaven. The first step I want to talk about, I believe, would probably be the hardest step of all, ourself. We have to put off self. In putting off ourself, there are some things that must be done in order to step out of self. These are some of the sub-steps that we're talking about. In Matthew chapter 16, there verse 24, Jesus said to the disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. I have to deny myself. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, there Paul phrased it this way. This they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. We have to deny ourselves, and then we have to give ourselves. As Paul would phrase in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 through 9, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. The word mortify means put to death. Your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, that just simply means all kinds of evil, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Put off the old man. And he enumerates some of the things that are involved in this old man. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. And this is not a complete list. There's just a few of the things that are typical of the old man, the man of sin. We have to put off these. In Matthew chapter 19, there beginning in verse 27, Peter answered the Lord and said, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? We've given up everything and followed you. What's going to be ours as a result of leaving everything and following you? Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Forsaken what? Everything. House, brother, sister, father, mother, wife, children, lands. Why? For my sake shall receive 100-fold. Other passages where this same record is given, it talks about it shall receive 100-fold. Now in this time, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, land, with persecution. Point is made by our Lord that when we forsake all these things, then he will take care of us, as Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 points out. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. But the point is, we have to be willing to forsake everything and follow the Lord. Give up everything. That's one of the reasons I made the observation that this may be the most difficult part, the most difficult step in our road to heaven. There are things that we have to stop doing when we step out of self. But there are also some things in putting off self, there's some things that we must not do. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6, there Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You see, I can't put my trust in myself. When I put off self, that means that I cannot put my confidence in myself. As Jeremiah points out, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, the way of man is not in himself, it's not in man to walk it, to direct his own steps. And so I can't look to self for guidance. I just don't have the capability of taking care of the things that need to be done in order to affect my salvation. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus talks about, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So I cannot glorify myself. I have to glorify God. I have to give honor and glory to him, not self. As we mentioned in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, I can't put the welfare of self first. These are some things that we have to deal with in our physical lives. Because it's very easy for us to be caught up in the things of this life, things that the world has to offer. And yes, sir, in the society in which we live, we have so many, many things that make our lives so pleasant and enjoyable. Richard just got back from a trade show out in Las Vegas where they got all kind of new electronic gizmos and gadgets that you can get that make your life supposedly easier. Now, how much easier? I doubt that sometimes. But we have so many things that we take for granted that make our lives so pleasant, that make our existence so readily achievable, the things that we desire in this world. These are the kinds of things that we have to be very careful about, because they cause us to want to put self first. And so you see, many are unwilling to do this. People today are not that different than people were in New Testament times. You remember in Matthew chapter 19, verse 22, when the young man heard what Jesus said, remember Jesus told him, if he be perfect, sell what he had and give to the poor. Take his cross and follow him. This man was a very wealthy man. Notice what the text says about him. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was not willing to give up the material things in order to follow the Lord. Now, does Jesus mean by that we have to just become paupers, dig us a cave in some hillside somewhere and live as a hermit in order to be his follower, to give up all the world, the things that this world has to offer that make our lives pleasant and enjoyable? That's not the point at all. The point is that these things that we enjoy in this life are temporal. They're not lasting. They're not important from the spiritual standpoint. We need to be willing, if necessary, to give up all these things in order to serve the Lord. This rich young ruler was unwilling to do that. In John chapter 11, there are some religious people. Verse 47, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. These religious people were worried more about their position than they were about the things of the Lord. This man doeth many miracles. They could not deny the miracles he was doing. And they said, if we let him alone, everybody's going to believe on him. And if that's the case, then the Romans are going to come and they're going to take away our place and nation. They were more worried more about the political scene and their own religious titles and places than they were about things that were true and right, according to the teaching of Jesus Christ. You notice Felix in Acts chapter 24, when Paul reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, the scripture said, Felix, tremble, and answer, go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. Here's a man who heard Paul preach, as Paul reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. It scared him. He was deeply troubled. He was bothered by the things that Paul said, but he wasn't willing to change. He wasn't willing to step out of self, to deny self. Same thing is true in regard to Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, verse 28. Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. There are multiplied thousands of people all over this world today who are almost persuaded, but they're not fully persuaded. I've studied with and talked with individuals over the years that have reached that point in their life. They're almost persuaded to give up what was necessary for them to give up in order to follow the Lord, but they were unwilling. The cost was more than they were willing to give up, and that, my friend, is what makes this step the hardest step in our road to heaven. Give up self. Put off self. Some things that we must do. Deny self. Give up self. Put off the old man. Forsake all these and follow Christ. Some things that
in stepping out of self, we must not do.
We can't trust ourselves. We can't look to our own self for guidance. We can't glorify ourselves. We have to glorify God. We have to put the welfare of self behind the welfare of the things of a spiritual nature. Cannot put the welfare of self first. And we read about some people who were unwilling to do this. And as a result, they were lost. So the first step is put off self or step out of self. The second step is putting on Christ. Stepping into Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, the Apostle Paul will say to those brethren there in Galatia, you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You put on Christ. Put off self. Now you put on Christ. Step out of self. You step into Christ. Well, how do you do that? We talk about how we step out of self, or how we deny self, how we put off self. How do we step into Christ? How do we put on Christ? Obviously, we first of all need to be willing to hear His Word. In Romans 10, verse 17, the Scripture says, so that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hearing the will of Jesus Christ is necessary before we can ever put on Christ. We have to know what His will is. Be willing to hear His Word. And then, as a result of hearing His Word, faith is produced in our heart. Jesus said, except ye believe that I am He, shall die in your sins. John 8, verse 24. Hebrews 11, verse 6, the writer says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith is absolutely essential. Jesus would say in Mark chapter 16, there in verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Hearing God's word then produces faith in our heart. Faith that causes us to be willing to turn from our sins, as Peter told those people the day of Pentecost. You remember on this occasion, there was people gathered there out of every nation under heaven. As you begin reading in Acts the second chapter. Then there was the giving of the Holy Spirit to the apostles. Cloven tongues and fire set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And these people wondered, how are we hearing each man in our own language wherein we were born? Peter then begins to preach to them. When they accused him of being drunk, he said, these are not drunk, you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. What you're seeing happening here is exactly what the prophet Joel said was going to happen. And so he proceeds to preach Jesus to them. And he accused them of being now the betrayers and murderers of the Son of God. He concludes his lesson. He said, this same Jesus whom you crucified had been made both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, the text says, the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Repentance. Luke 13 and verse 3, I tell you, nay, if you repent, you shall all likewise perish. One has to be willing to turn from their sins. When they are then willing to turn from their sins, turn from their own ways, step out of self, deny self, then they must be willing to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Romans 10 and verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession made unto salvation. The word unto means in the direction of. Don't have salvation at this point. Confession made unto salvation. You remember the Ethiopian. When he said, see here the water, what is in to me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest, thou mayest. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. We've got to be willing to acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God.
After we have acknowledged Jesus Christ as the Son of God, we confess our faith in Him, then we can be immersed in water for the remission of our sins. We talked in our Bible study period this morning from Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Therefore we're buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. 1 Peter 3, verse 21, Peter said, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. As we noted earlier from Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This puts one into Jesus Christ. That's how one puts on Christ or gets into Christ. Now, when one puts on Christ or gets in Christ, notice he is now a new creature, a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. As we know from Romans 6, 3 and 4. We rise and walk in newness of life. But not only do we become a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus, Paul talks about us becoming victorious. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, there at verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which also always causes us to triumph in Christ. The idea of triumph is victory, and making manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. It doesn't say Savior, it says Savior. Savior has to do with the idea of a palatable taste. It maketh manifest or makes known the palatable taste of His knowledge by us in every place. How does He do that? It's by the kind of life that we live, by the fact that we have put on Christ. We're now a new creation. And as a new creation, we are victorious. We have this triumphant victory in Christ Jesus. That makes us free from condemnation. Romans chapter 8, there verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Mentioned in a Bible study period when Paul talked about through the mind of the flesh, through the mind with the flesh, he served the law. But with the mind, he served Christ. And some of our denominational friends try to make a distinction between those two and say that the flesh, what the flesh does, doesn't have anything to do with the spirit part of man. But notice what the scripture says here. Who walk not after the flesh. There's a decision that a person makes, a determination that they make not to practice the things of the flesh. Yes, sometimes we do slip and we fall. Sometimes we allow Satan to tempt us and we give in to the temptation. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can receive forgiveness of those sins. We can get rid of that thing that separates us from Christ and enjoy this relationship that we have. As Paul described in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, as having all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. The only place that a person can have all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that people who are outside of Christ don't ever receive any blessing. Scripture makes it very clear that He makes His sun to rise on the just and the unjust. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. Physical blessings are received by untold millions who are not children of God. But there are absolutely no spiritual blessings that can be received outside of Jesus Christ. And so you have to put on Christ in order to have the spiritual blessings that are available. And so there's two steps of these three steps into heaven. Stepping out of self, stepping into Christ. The third step is into glory. That involves dying in Christ. We all must die or be transformed. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 said, it's appointed that a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. Everybody's going to die. Or as we noted earlier in our study, if we are alive when Jesus returns, we're going to be transformed. Paul told the Thessalonians in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this mortal body is going to be transformed, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians. This mortal must put on immortality. And so we are all going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, if we are alive when the Lord returns. And so we're not going to be flesh and bones in eternity. We're going to be spirit. So either we die a physical death, or we are transformed into a spiritual being. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there in verse 50 said, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption." Flesh and blood is not going to be in heaven. So we've got to die, or we're going to be transformed into a spirit being before we can enter into heaven. At the time of death, or our transformation, we must be in Christ. Revelation chapter 14, there verse 13, "I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor, and their works do follow them." Notice the pronouns there. They. There. Who is that? The dead which die in the Lord. They may rest from their labor, and their works do follow them. Those are the ones who die in the Lord. We all, I think, understand that after death, or after being transformed into a spiritual being, we must go through the judgment. Every one of us is going to be judged. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. "Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Then in verse 12 of the same chapter, he says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." We're all going to be judged. We're all going to give an account of how we have lived, whether good or bad. Somebody said, "Well, doesn't God already know?" Yes, he does. This judgment is not like the judgment that we see in our courts today, where a judge sits on the bench and the trial lawyers, the defense lawyer and the prosecutor, they present their case, and then the jurors consider the evidence in the case, and then they decide whether the person is innocent or guilty. That's not the way it's going to be at this accounting. We're going to be judged out of the books, the Revelation letter said. The books are open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead are judged out of the things written in the book. The record is already there. I have determined my fate by the way I live here upon this earth, by whether or not I have denied myself, whether I have stepped out of self and stepped into Christ and remained faithful to Him. Remember, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 to verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." It takes a steadfast life, being faithful unto the end, Revelation 2 and verse 10. But we're going to all stand before God, and there we're going to receive our sentence. That's what this judgment is all about, the handing down of the sentence. This is the equivalent of the judge saying, "You're condemned to die, or you're innocent of all charges." The only way we can be innocent of all charges is by giving ourselves over to the Lord, stepping out of self and stepping into Christ. Those found to be in Christ, those righteous, receive eternal life. Matthew chapter 25, there, verse 46. "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal." Only two groups. One going to eternal punishment, the other going to eternal life. Three steps to heaven. Out of self, into Christ, into glory. Instructions from God must be followed to the letter. James chapter 2, there verse 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Now to me, that's a scary thought. If I do everything except one thing, I'm going to be lost. Now understand, as Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, he makes it clear that we are going to be saved by the grace of God. It's only by God's grace that we're going to make it. But what is it that God's grace did? God's grace simply provided the means by which I can receive salvation. It's up to me to appropriate the means of salvation. That means taking advantage of that which the death of Christ has provided for us. His death provides for us forgiveness of sin. His blood can continually be applied to our lives, just as the man was told. We refer to him as Simon the Sorcerer. He believed and was baptized. They tried to purchase the gift of God with money. Peter told him he was in the gall of bitterness and bond of iniquity. He told him to repent of the thoughts of his heart so that he might be forgiven. And so in this way, we can apply the blood of Christ to our lives on a continual basis. Even when it turns from our sins, if we'll do that, confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In some things, we may get by without following the instructions step by step. We might even be able to skip a step and still reach the desired goal. But that's not true in the spiritual realm. Not true with God's instructions. Because we're simply not smart enough. In the physical realm, sometimes we have enough basic intelligence that we can look at something and we can figure out how to make it work without reading the instructions, the directions. That's not true in the spiritual realm. Remember Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know the way of man not in himself. It's not in man to walk to direct his steps. So I can't do it on my own. Neither can you. No man can. I have to follow the instructions that have been laid down for me. Now, if you have not taken the first two steps, just rest assured, you'll never complete the last one into glory. You'll not be with God forever unless you've taken the first two steps. Stepping out of self, stepping into Christ. Remember, Christ has prepared a place for us, but we must follow his directions to arrive at the place he's prepared for us. The question that I have to answer, and I have to answer it all the time, am I following his instructions? Am I following the directions that he set forth for me in his word? Remember John 12, verse 48? He that rejected me and received not my words hath one to judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. I'm going to be held accountable to his revealed will. Am I following his instructions? If not, you can begin today. If you've never stepped out of self, you can do that. You can deny self. And you can put on Christ. You can be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. The Lord will add you to his church. You'll be a part of his family. You can live for him, and then you can die in Christ and have that home that he's prepared for you. If you have obeyed the gospel, you've been added to the body of Christ, and at some point in time, you cease living for him. You went back into the world. You need to do what Simon was told to do, repent and pray. The Lord will forgive you. If you're in this audience, you need to respond to the Lord's invitation. We invite you to come as we stand and sing for your encouragement.